Now, everything old is new again. America's entertainment pop culture talk show with Douglas Viviani and David Cohen.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
David Cohen.
Why am I mad?
You're mad because we are setting the tone for our show this week and next, which we are going to be time traveling. We're going to be going back and examining the decade of the 1960s like you've never examined them before.
Groovy.
Yes, we're going to use our time machine as we visit the 60s. We, try to learn what it's like to grow up in this revolutionary decade.
Because we don't know, just for the record, we're old, but we're not, children of the 60s, really.
We weren't conscious. We didn't graduate in the 60s from high school or something like that. We weren't old enough to really appreciate that. So we're going to use the sound clips we have to transport us there. And this week we're joined by a family member of mine.
Someone who actually lived during the 60s.
Exactly. Joe Viviani. And Joe, you were born in 53, correct?
That is correct.
So welcome to the show. Thanks for taking the time to be with us.
Thanks for having me here.
We want to go inside the mind. We have a little bit of a skeleton here of course, some sound clips, which we do, and some information about, what happened. But we want to get inside the mind of someone that grew up in the 60s. And let's say 1960, that means you were 7. And in 1970, of course, you were 17. So
it's really good, Doug. Just off the cuff.
He's better at math than I am.
That's the best math I got. But the point being is that now we're going to dig into your mind. We put that couch out. And Sigmund Freud is, I'm going to play Sigmund Freud.
Wow.
We're going to evaluate you and how you've grown up in the 60s. I think it is a tremendous decade of tremendous highs and tremendous lows. And as a result of that, it may have affected you differently than someone growing up, let's say, in the 80s, where I would project that there really wasn't a lot of controversy. So maybe someone in that era grew up a little bit differently. We just heard a little bit about JFK. Now, he was elected, of course, and was one of the first presidents in the 60s. And the question then is, or was he the first president in the 60s?
One of the first. There were several first presidents in the 60s. He was among them, yes.
That's the ever mod, David Cohen, putting his two cents in there. The question is, when he was elected, did you have, you were young at that point, remember? Now you're 7 years old, but did you have some feel for anything of what he represented at all? Not getting to politics, but, the public relations part of it. How did he present himself?
Basically, I don't remember too much about I do remember the election with him and Nixon, it was a back and forth thing going on for a while. My mom was really happy that we had a Catholic president, and I felt that I liked a lot of his, his points were like phenomenal, and he was so into the space program.
Right.
And I was big into that because, they had the Russians did the around the world thing first.
Right.
I think.
The Soyuz, yeah.
Right. And so,
Sputnik, actually.
Sputnik. That's what it was. I couldn't remember what the heck that was.
Well, let's take a look also. He did a little something. He challenged us, and he was challenged with the Cuban Missile Crisis.
Right.
Within the past week, unmistakable evidence has established the fact that a series of offensive missile sites is now in preparation on that imprisoned island. The purpose of these bases can be none other than to provide a nuclear strike capability against the Western Hemisphere.
Now, again, you were 9 years old. That was 1962.
Right.
Still a little more optimistic. I mean, something negative in a way could have happened, and he was able to avert a nuclear crisis, right?
Right.
So did that have any effect, as you were growing up? Did you just ignore this altogether?
No. And that made a much of an effect because I do remember in school they actually prepared us for, air raids and stuff from the missiles. They taught us how to, hide under the desk. They, if we were walking in a hall, they showed us like closet areas we could go into. They were very up on it.
Based on that, based on what was going on.
Yes, oh, very much so.
So now, was it some sort of relief? Had to be some sort of, not going to say celebration, but a sigh of relief when that ended?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. There was like, well, you know what? Basically, it like after it like faded away, you know, then they had, we literally had like air raid, what is that? Fire
right.
Drills.
Right.
We had air raid drills like once a week.
See that?
You know, we had fire drills like
what
once a week.
So what did they do during the air raid drill, like, in the classroom?
Depending on which school you were in, like in the public schools, the desks were big enough to get under. On like when I was in parochial school, they weren't big enough to get under, but they had these huge closets, and they also showed you that they had, you could go down into the older part of the school, and they had areas that were like a air raid shelter,
right?
Stuff like that,
like a big basement.
Through.
Well,
right,
you know,
right.
And during those times, again, along the optimistic side, the optimistic beginning of the '60s, we had the Yankees, which is one of the best teams of all time. '61 Yankees.
Ninth inning, and if ever it was pitch measuring time, it is right now. There's one. It is deep right field, and that ball is going, it is gone. Roger Maris gets his first hit of the series, and you can tell when it left the bat that it was gone. And the Yankees lead 3-2.
Now, Yankees winning the World Series. There was the challenge of Maris and Mantle, right?
Right.
The home run hitting contest, so to speak.
Right, right.
You know, so, I mean, I don't know. Again, you were kind of young. It's 8 years old then.
How was
Mantle? Was he a big, were you a big fan? Or the
I was a
like
big Mickey Mantle fan. He was like, I remember my dad, and we'd be watching it on TV and stuff like that. And forget about it. There was nobody in the room when the game was on, you know. We were watching the Yankee game, and that was it. That was all. That was the only matter at the time.
Now, did people like? Did you root for against Roger Maris or
no?
You know, like on the same team and all?
Yeah.
But I heard some of that going on.
No, I didn't root against him. I knew he was a good player, but like Mantle was a favorite. And you could see when he got up there, and, you know, again, it was amazing we could actually see anything with the TVs we had back then.
Yeah.
These little black and white TVs. But the guy's hands were enormous.
Yeah.
Enormous. And so
he was a big hero.
Oh, my God. He was phenomenal. See, and he hit it out there every time.
So you had Mantle, you had JFK, you're riding high, and all of a sudden, hate to say it, 1963, we got this happens.
Here is a bulletin from CBS News. In Dallas, Texas, three shots were fired at President Kennedy's motorcade in downtown Dallas. From Dallas, Texas, President Kennedy died at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time, some 38 minutes ago.
Now you're 10 years. Let me see. Yeah, you're 10 years old when that happens.
Yes.
I know everyone's talked about, you know, the history of it and the controversy and all. But as someone living during those days, as a young person developing their mind, you're on the highs. Here's this great president. He announces you were going to go to the moon. You've got the, you know, the Yankees and Mantle and all that. Everything's going great apparently. And all of a sudden this happens. I mean, what kind of an effect did this have?
It definitely blew me away. I was actually going from the library in school back into my class, and then it came over the loudspeaker in the school, and we actually had a moment of silence. I remember that, and I remember getting home, getting off the bus, and my mom's mom was living with us at the time, and she saw the whole thing happen on TV. So, and then, of course, you know, they had it recorded, and like it was going on all week
long.
And that whole week that they had the funeral and everything, it was like amazing. We were like totally, you know, blown away, and then of course, you know, all the action from it afterwards, like, you know, who shot him, you know, was it Lee Harvey Oswald, was it somebody else?
Yeah, we're gonna pick this up right up. We get back from this little break, a little foreshadowing here, or something that may be a little healing of the nation after that.
Anyone can create a podcast on the web. In fact, there are millions of them online. But if you want quality internet talk radio, just remember this address, TalkZone.com. TalkZone is internet talk radio for planet Earth with talented hosts, great guests, and good conversation. Ready to share your thoughts and ideas with a global audience? Become a TalkZone show host yourself. Learn more at TalkZone.com. Internet talk radio for planet Earth.
TalkZone.com.
When you're looking for a job, changing your career, or applying for a promotion, your resume is the first thing seen that represents you to a potential employer. Make sure your resume makes a clear, concise, and professional impression of who you are so you can get that job. Send your current resume to resumedoctorinc@aol.com for a free online review. You'll receive a reasonable quote to properly prepare your resume. Let us make sure you have a resume that will get you noticed. Send your resume or questions to resumedoctorinc@aol.com. That's resumedoctorinc@aol.com.
This is a life-changing message for anyone with sleep apnea who is on the go and tired of dragging around a big, bulky home CPAP device. CPAP.com now offers a portable device that's as small as a soda can and weighs less than a pound. For even more freedom, you can add a battery that's as tiny as a deck of cards. It's called the Transcend Mini CPAP, and right now you can try it risk-free for 10 days by calling 1-800-507-9255. Transcend is the world's first portable mini CPAP device. It gives you the freedom to sleep in total comfort anywhere you are. Transcend's smallest and most advanced portable design ever. The mini CPAP is so small and so light, you can fit it in your briefcase or purse to use anywhere you go. It's FAA compliant too, so you can even sleep comfortably while flying. Enjoy the freedom to sleep comfortably anywhere. Call CPAP.com now for your 10-day in-home trial. 1-800-507-9255. That's 1-800-507-9255.
Now, back to America's Entertainment Pop Culture Talk Show. Everything old is new again, with Douglas Viviani and David Cohen.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles!
Welcome back to Everything Old is New Again. We are experiencing the 1960s with David Cohen, myself, and Joe Viviani, who was born in 1953. Therefore, at the time the Beatles came upon us in 1964 from the Ed Sullivan Show on February 9th, 1964, he was 11 years old. Welcome back, Joe. Thanks for taking the time.
All right. Good to be here.
Now, we would talk about, and we had a blow by it, but we've had some highs and lows already in the 60s, from the JFK assassination to his inauguration to the, you know, 1961 Yankees and all. Right. Now, you've seen, you know, a little later now, we're progressing a little bit, and we've got Ed Sullivan introducing the Beatles. What was that? We've heard this a million times, but for someone that actually saw it, that I think may have been affected by it at 11 years old, try to put your mind back, if you can, to an 11-year-old, all those years, and what was that like?
I got to tell you, it was incredible to see him on the Ed Sullivan Show. I mean, the girls were screaming so much, I think that they like, I had to turn the sound up so that you could actually hear the music. And
so did you, like, before it aired,
right,
did you know about them, or was that when you first found out about them?
I think that's probably when I first really took notice of them. You know, I might have heard about them, I can't really be sure, but man, they really kicked it off on the Ed Sullivan Show.
And what did your parents think? Like, was there a generation gap, or were they into it too? What happened there?
They really didn't think much, you
right.
know. They just, you know, thought it was just another show, another band, blah blah blah.
So this is, you could take ownership as a kid, you know, of this is something that is in your corner of the world.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
not their
oh, yeah.
thing. You
they
know?
Had they had a very big influence on me so far as music is concerned, so far as me playing music, and so far as like my brothers and stuff. You know,
so it could have been life in some ways, not entirely life changing, but it added a facet to your life.
It definitely got me more interested into music. I'll say that.
Because why? What was
it? Was just four guys up there making a whole lot of sound,
and it sounded
and
great.
It was like phenomenal. And it was like, you know, I again, after the shows and stuff, and later on in life when I studied a little bit about them, how they started off in Liverpool and everything, I mean, these guys came up the hard way, and they played in bars in Liverpool. Their big influence was Elvis Presley, which I just found out. And they basically, when they wrote music, which I, from reading music, they did things that most guys didn't want to attempt. So,
right.
like, they matched up certain notes and stuff that, you know, a lot of players didn't even want to
try to
attempt.
They also did that was different was they played stadiums like Shea Stadium.
Yeah, oh my God.
65.
Honored by their country, decorated by their queen, and loved here in America, here are the Beatles!
And that's Ed Sullivan, believe it or not, taking a trip.
Here we go.
To Shea Stadium to introduce the Beatles at Shea Stadium, 50,000 people. Now, I don't think you were there. Do you know anyone that went and or, you know, anyone that spoke about this, like a live scene? Or what was it? How did it affect you at 11?
I heard talk about it. 12. I don't know anybody that ever went.
Right.
You know? But
so that was something that was never done before, as was movies. Let's just go real fast. They did, you know, three movies in the 60s. Oh. Let's hear come some quick clips.
It's been a hard day's night, and I've been working like...
What would you call that hairstyle you're wearing?
Arthur. Often see your father.
No, actually, we're just good friends.
Well, why don't we do the show right here? Yeah!
Help, I need somebody. Help, not just anybody.
The idea, as I see it, is that we expand the molecules, and the ring grows bigger, and it drops off.
What's your electricity bill like?
It's not dropping off.
The forces of good, the Beatles, the forces of evil, the blue meaning.
Now, that blew through those three. Those were, of course, developed through the 60s. Hard Day's Night, Help, and Yellow Submarine. Right up your wheelhouse, I would think, as child.
Oh, yeah.
You know, wanting to go to the movies to see these characters that had such an influence. What was it like? Did you go see Hard Day's Night?
I did. In fact, my mom and dad and my brothers, we went all together to see Hard Day's Night. It was actually was hilarious, and it was great entertainment.
Now, did your parents get into it, too? Or no?
Yep. They did. Both. They didn't see Yellow Submarine with us, but we saw Hard Day's Night and Help, and they enjoyed them both. And of course, Help was in color, so they enjoyed it a little bit more. You know,
now what was the scene like at school? Like, did, you know, like when there's a big movie, Jurassic World. Now, you know, I've got a couple of kids, and they're all over it, and they want the figurines, and they want to, you know, learn all about dinosaurs. You know, in this scene, were you affected in that? You know, well, you talked about it in school, or
yeah?
Or no?
What happened basically after Hard Day's Night was. They started coming out with like Beatle record holders and Beatle pillows, and they got so famous from that first movie right there.
My lunch boxes. I even have a lunch box.
Yeah, right. Yeah. That's funny because I've seen them, and in fact, my wife has some of the 45 Beatle records,
right.
And it's like a little Beatle record container that holds it, you know. And everybody had some kind of Beatle paraphernalia.
So that was really, you talk about mania. That was the mania. Right, grandfather of them all.
Really, and they later on came out with Beatles cartoons.
Right.
On Saturday mornings, we used to see that, and it was phenomenal.
Now, did it affect you musically? Like, did you get into like playing the guitar a little bit, like some riffs or something that they?
I did. It did have an effect on me. I wasn't like strictly all Beatles, but I did want to start, you know, learning some of their music.
Right. Now I know you got us, you know, your guitar with you here today. And I'm gonna take you back and ask you to play a riff from in a moment, from the Beatles, of a song that sort of inspired, I know we've talked about this before, inspired you a little bit in terms of brought you along musically. Before we do that, I want to take a moment to thank KGIW in Alamosa, Colorado, 1450. It plays Everything Old is New Again now on Sundays at 9 a.m. Yesterday's hits and today's favorites. This is our new affiliate. We're very happy. What do you think about
that, welcome,
Dave?
Aboard. Do you know what Alamosa actually means? Where they got the name?
No, I have no clue.
Well, I did a little research on it, you know, as I do for every station that joins the family.
I like to hear it.
So Alamosa is a Spanish adjective. The translation is of cottonwood, and apparently, you know, Alamosa runs along the Rio Grande and the San Luis Valley, and so it means cottonwood, and there's cottonwood forests along the river and throughout the town of Alamosa. That's how it got its name.
Love it. We're not only Alamosa, though. We're reaching out to Monte Vista, La Jara, Fort Garland. I mean, we're in that general area. We love to be there. Welcome to the Everything Old is New Again Network, Sundays at 9 a.m. Back to the Beatles and Joe Viviani. Joe, play us a little something of this song. Let's see if you can recognize what song this is. Just a little clip just to see where we are. Mm-hmm. right, so now I'm going to take you back, because I had a graduate, no, a party at the house. I was probably 12, which means you were probably, I was 10, you were probably 18 or so, and I remember you playing the guitar and playing certain songs, and that's why it came to mind for this show to invite you over to give a little color, because I remember 50 years ago, whatever the heck that was, 40-something years ago.
Do you remember him playing that riff?
And I remember, I was going to tell you, I remember him playing that riff and a couple others, but I remember playing that and Batman you played.
Oh, yeah.
Batman
was a good TV show. I think I remember that.
Now, we'll ask you to go back to, 1969 here.
Okay.
I know it can't be that easy, and I appreciate you taking the time to play that. But that brings it alive in that. This is the kind of stuff that I don't know, if it happens now, but you were inspired by these riffs to start to pick up the guitar and play, and you've been playing ever since.
Well, basically, since I'm 11, I guess, and, I had a rough time when I first started playing because I didn't have a really good guitar, and it, hurt my fingers really bad. So once I started to play and learned how to play, my father says, oh, well, you got to get something better, and then we started taking lessons professionally.
So now you feel you have a talent that was maybe ignited, the interest at least was ignited by the Beatles.
It definitely started me off. Between that and listen to some of the other 50s things that came along. Originally, I used to like some of the boogie-woogie things that they used to do,
Right. Well, it's good to see. We're going to take a moment to listen to Help. We'll come right back and continue our discussion of the 60s.
The following is an important free offer for smokers only. The makers of O2 Pure's revolutionary e-cigarette have just authorized the release of free starter kits to all smokers who call in the next 10 minutes. Valued at $99, these starter kits are available for free, but only while supplies last. To guarantee your free kit, call in the next 10 minutes, 1-800-561-9548. The advanced O2 Pure design creates a pleasant vapor. There is no foul-smelling smoke and no nasty tar. This allows individuals to enjoy the nicotine they love whenever and wherever they are. The financial advantages over cigarettes are considerable as well. It is estimated that the average smoker can save hundreds of dollars a month with O2 Pure. Again, free starter kits are now available to any smoker who calls in the next 10 minutes. This is a radio-only offer not available in stores, so call now for your free kit. 1-800-561-9548. 1-800-561-9548. 1-800-561-9548.
This show is sponsored by the Law Office of Douglas Viviani. Douglas Viviani has been providing quality legal services for over 26 years. We are a general practice firm and can handle any legal matter you may have for a reasonable fee. If you were involved in a car accident, starting a business, planning your estate, or need of a criminal attorney, please call 631-681-1910 or email us at vivianilaw@aol.com. Get the justice you deserve. Contact the Law Office of Douglas Viviani.
If you want to register your own .com and are looking for a responsible, sustainable, high-quality domain name registrar, then look at Pernick.com. Pernick includes a ton of value-added services like a parking page, Whois, privacy, dynamic DNS, and much more with every domain name registration at no extra cost. Not many companies can say that. So give Pernick.com a try today. Pairnic.com.
This is Everything Old is New Again, America's entertainment pop culture talk show with Douglas Viviani and David Cohen.
Here we come, walk down the street, get the funniest looks from everyone we meet.
Welcome back to Everything Old is New Again. This is Douglas Viviani with the ever mod David Cohen, and I'm joined today, and actually next week, we'll also have Joe Viviani here, who is an offensive child of the 60s? I think that's probably a decent way to say that.
Do you introduce yourself as a child of the 60s, Joe?
A product of the 60s.
Product.
We got to label it somehow for our advertising purposes.
I would definitely say a product would probably be more accurate.
All right, there you go. And that was the Monkees, that was a band band influenced by what we talked about the last segment, the Beatles. And we're going to focus a little bit more now away from the 60s music a little bit, or the beginning influence of the Beatles, to television. Let's talk about the new breed of television, what I think would be somewhat of the new breed of comedy on television. Now, when the Monkees came out, I mean, they're sort of a poor man's Beatles, I would say. I don't think that's unfair.
I guess they probably didn't get as much credit as the Beatles did. They were very talented guys, but I guess it was really smart of them to have a TV show to make a little extra money, because
and they brought them into your world every week.
They're in your living room every day. Yeah.
You know, so what a great marketing tool, I guess, right? Dave, who's behind them?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. And there was also more Monkees, different trivia, you know, we had in school, again, with the book bags and all that other stuff we used to see. And they'd have, like, the toys, you know, of all the different
all
members.
The merchandising and stuff,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, that's a microphone in front of you there, so if you hit it, it's going to make a sound.
Sorry.
But besides, the show's not used.
Out for a second.
You can't make mistakes here, Jerry. Yeah, Doug's very strict.
It's like when I learned how to play the electric guitar, it's very unforgiving.
So is the microphone, and so am I. So okay. Let's take a look.
I got you.
I won't kid around you. We're going to go to the next clip, and let's do some of the shows that we're on.
Holy unrefillable prescriptions. Holy catastrophe.
Holy human pressure cookers.
Exactly, Robin.
I didn't want to buy this dress. The devil made me buy this dress.
Sock it to me?
You're no relation to the Seattle Martins, are you?
No. My mother married my stepfather's brother by a previous marriage. You might call me the man from Uncle.
Kurakin. Get over here, fast. I think I've found Thrush headquarters at last.
There's a cross promotion of on Laugh and of Man from U.N.C.L.E. But before that, we heard a little clip from Batman and Flip Wilson and Laughing. Now, I don't know. I just threw those out there at you. Any of those come alive, or all of them come alive for you, as memory wise?
Oh yeah. They were definitely. Batman was the. Oh man.
Batman was
the best TV show so far as entertainment.
And what about, like, Flip Wilson, The Devil Made Me Do It? I mean, what was that all about?
He definitely made a good impression so far. Basically, when he was on Laughing a lot also.
Yeah.
And I never laughed so hard, because he was perfect for Laughing, and he came out with so many different characters. It's a shame, you know, he had passed away, but he was
he was groundbreaking too. Dressed up as a lady, Geraldine,
yeah,
right?
He did the Geraldine bit all the time.
And then Laughing had Richard Nixon, the President of the United States, on the show.
I couldn't believe that. I was amazed that he actually went on there. It was pretty cool,
right? And so Laughing was of all these. I mean, they were all revolutionary, but in some way or another. But I think Laughing was
Laughing was phenomenal. Really, you could watch any Laughing show today and still get a big kick out of it. It's amazing.
It was like a variety show with skits and regular characters, like a Saturday Night Live, but more edgy, and that had Goldie Hawn dance. In a bikini, and I mean, it was right. Something of the day. Let's take a look. We had a little something about secret agents. Let's get into that scene. The Man from U.N.C.L.E.
Oh, yeah.
There's a man who leads a life of danger.
I mean, there was secret agent mania, wasn't there? I mean, you've got Man from U.N.C.L.E., Get Smart, Mission Impossible, Secret Agent Man, all from the 60s. There were others I didn't even include in that. Were you involved in that craze at all? Or no?
Oh, yeah. It was a bit, especially like, it was a whole big secret agent thing with James Bond, Man from U.N.C.L.E., and all that. Get Smart was great, because I'll never forget, that was also a prime Saturday night show. Nobody missed that. But, like, with all the cool gadgets that the Secret Agent Man, I think he got some of that from James Bond, you know. But, like, again, we had Secret Agent Man and James Bond toys as kids for Christmas, like the attaché case with the knife that sticks out, and you open it up and there's a little gun in there and everything else. And I think that probably revolutionized, like, the Remco company.
I mean, you think merchandising just came out now. I mean, holy smokes. There was was Man from U.N.C.L.E. stuff everywhere.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
go
yeah.
on eBay. Take a look now. You'll still see Man from U.N.C.L.E. stuff
oh, really?
Everywhere. You know?
I definitely remember all the secret agent stuff between James Bond and Secret Agent Man. They all had attaché case, hideaway, what do you call it, guns and stuff.
By the way, I have a thing actually home that actually is a, it looks like a transistor radio, which was a portable radio at the
okay.
time. And you hit a button, it turns into a like a Luger.
Ah, oh, cool.
And again, there was no, we're talking about guns like crazy. There was no prohibition on guns.
Get
and
smart.
There were cap guns, too. You'd hit them and they'd make a sound, right?
Right, right, yeah. Get Smart had the phone shoe.
Yeah, right.
He took the thing off the heel of the shoe. That was
all
great.
These things that now you laugh at because, you know, we have it all in one device called our cell phone,
I know.
You know?
You have a gun in your cell phone?
That's why if you hit the microphone again, there's going to be some trouble. Anyway, clip. I mean, let's go to the next clip and listen to a little something about some comedy that was going on then.
Television City in Hollywood. Ladies and gentlemen, the Smothers Brothers.
Now, here's a controversial headline. Church split on birth control.
Oh, I may be married, but I'd never go against the Pope as far as birth control is concerned. Never.
But suppose you found your wife taking the pill.
Well, I think I'd have to file for divorce.
We have so many ways of describing these dirty words. It's, well, we have more ways to describe dirty words than we actually have dirty words. That seems a little strange to me.
There you go. That's the Smothers Brothers. And then a crossover with George Carlin on the Smothers Brothers, if you heard that clip about the church. And all that. Right. And then thereafter, George Carlin doing his classic Seven Dirty Words routine. Now, they were a little later in the 60s, and my question, Dave and I did a show on comedy, and we did speak about George Carlin and the Seven Dirty Words. It seems to be seminal now, that routine, as you know, basically was seven words you're not allowed to use
right.
on
right.
television or on radio.
Right.
So, I don't know, do you have any thoughts about any memories of either or both of those comedians?
I don't remember too much about George Carlin until he really got into like the Saturday Night Live thing in the middle of the 70s.
Right.
But so far as Smothers Brothers, again, was another almost like a Sunday night Ed Sullivan thing, because I think they were on later on after Ed Sullivan, I think probably on the same channel, and nobody missed the Smothers Brothers because their monologue in the beginning was like phenomenal, and they always had a lot of good acts on the show, and they actually sounded good together.
And know? Actually, they played instruments.
They played very well.
Right. One played the bass, one played the rhythm guitar. And
right.
They actually, they were one of the last, I'm trying to think of another one, last comedy teams
right.
that we've seen. That was, they took off right after Martin and Lewis, you know?
Right, right.
And they had some controversy, certainly, because they were topical, as you could even hear with that joke that you just played at mm-hmm. the time, was very controversial,
oh,
very
yes.
topical. So they went out with a bang, as we're going to go. Theme Lost in Space. I gotta get that in. We'll be back. Everything Old is New Again.
For P150, P150GA, P150LK, P150TN, C250A, C250E, C250Q. Not available in all states.
What's the scariest thing about going to the dentist? Opening your mouth or opening your wallet? Because just a simple cleaning can cost $100, and things like root canals can cost you hundreds more. If you don't have dental insurance to help, call Physicians Mutual Insurance Company. 1-800-809-9775. This isn't a discount plan or preventive-only coverage. This is real dental insurance that helps pay for checkups right away, so you can call today and get your teeth cleaned tomorrow. Plus, it helps cover the more expensive procedures you might need down the road. Fillings, crowns, bridges, even costly dentures. There's no deductible and no annual maximum. Your acceptance is guaranteed for one of these insurance policies, even if you're retired. There are no networks, so you can choose any dentist you'd like. Call in the next 10 minutes and we'll rush you a free information kit with all the details. 1-800-809-9775. That's 1-800-809-9775. 1-800-809-9775.
This isn't a commercial. It's a gift to anyone who's sick and tired of dealing with their hearing loss. Because we'll give everyone who calls a risk-free trial of a life-changing hearing breakthrough called Listen Clear. Not only that, we'll also give you free shipping and free batteries for life. But you must call now. 1-800-921-1079. Listen Clear is precisely designed by top audio engineers to fit your ear almost invisibly. And you can adjust Listen Clear to find the perfect way to hear everything, wherever you are and whatever you're doing. Listen Clear is so invisible, people may not even know you're wearing it. And it's so lightweight, you may even forget you're wearing it too. So if you're sick of dealing with your hearing loss, let us give you a 100% risk-free home trial. with free shipping and free batteries for life. For free information, call now. 1-800-921-1079. That's 1-800-921-1079. 1-800-921-1079.
This is Everything Old is New Again, America's entertainment pop culture talk show with Douglas Viviani and David Cohen.
These are the voyages of the starship Enterprise. Its five-year mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Welcome back to Everything Old is New Again. David Cohen, what is that theme from? Have you heard that before?
Show in the sick. I think you like it.
It's our ever-present reference. If you listen to our show, we have a reference almost every show to the...
Almost every show? Oh. Every show is a Star Trek reference.
And now it's actually apropos.
Yeah, for the first time.
And we're back with Joe Viviani. Joe, I want to just ask you, why did I play that in a way? That's a show, of course, that started out in the 60s that is still alive to this day. But in the genesis of that, again, you were probably about 15 or 14. What was the thought that you had when this show started out?
Basically, it was, first, I'm a big sci-fi buff, I got to tell you. And mostly,
runs in the family, I guess.
Yeah, I guess. And it was phenomenal. We were literally glued to our TV sets, getting so blown away from the, you know, being able to beam on one service to the other, and other little characters involved like Spock and everything, with the intimate, the other little stories involved besides of having him as a first officer. But I remember seeing on the news that it was a low budget thing, and they made a lot of different type of gadgets and different type of backgrounds, and their backgrounds alone, like when they're like fighting the aliens on these other planets and stuff, was amazing. And so we never missed it. I mean,
what about the themes? Did you catch any of the like, you know, there's certain episodes that had a theme of anti-prejudice, or, you know, the different themes going through. Let's put it this way. I know for a fact that the writers of the show and the producers used that as a vehicle to try to attack and approach some of the social issues of the time.
Right.
So, I mean, did you catch on to that, or was it over your head, under your whatever? You know,
I think in the beginning it was. Later on I caught on myself, but in the beginning it was a little bit over my head because I was too into the theme, actually.
Right.
And so I didn't really grab that right away. But, yeah, I know what you were saying.
Well, let's hear it. I'm going to cut you off because there's a couple others we don't want to ignore. Let's listen to a little clip.
You unlock this door with the key of imagination. Beyond it is another dimension. You're moving into a land of both shadow and substance, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into the Twilight Zone.
The pain.
Indeed, I am a doctor of intergalactic environmental psychology.
You are a quack.
Danger, Will Robinson. Danger.
Remove yourself, you bubble-headed booby. This meeting is only for those with human quality.
The fact that my internal arrangement differs from yours, Doctor, pleases me no end.
Away, you cackling tart, and leave me to my work.
Most illogical.
As for you, you jabbering Judas, henceforth our friendship is at an end.
Spare me your philosophical metaphors, Doctor.
Just you wait, you deplorable dummy.
Thank you for your opinion. It will be duly noted.
And now, if you'd excuse me, I shall retire. Good night to all, and to all a good night.
That's a little piece there of Dr. Smith and Spock jabbering back and forth had they been on the same ship. We examined that topic a little ways back. I reused the clip. But, I mean, there's Twilight Zone there, Lost in Space, and Star Trek. Like, all of those were products of the 60s. Did you get into the Twilight Zone? We talked about
one. Oh, yeah. That was more of a scarier type show to watch because it had a lot of interesting, all these different stories. In fact, Twilight Zone did a couple of UFO things where this little tiny ship landed in this lady's backyard and everything else, and they kept hearing noises and they couldn't figure out where they're coming from because they couldn't see anything, it was so small. And they had, you know, like, they had everything so far is like I said, UFO things, murder mystery, different kinds of.
So was it something that appealed to you? Like it certainly didn't have the same cast all the time.
It was like it was the very spookiest kind of thing. Had a little bit of an Alfred Hitchcock background to it, you know, to where you didn't know what to expect.
Right. Well, let me ask you a question. Let's look at this way. Did you ever go to McDonald's, pick up a couple of burgers, and come home and watch any of these shows?
Oh, yeah.
All right. So I want to segue into this commercial, the first commercial ever of McDonald's in 1961.
Introducing the world's newest, silliest, and hamburger-eatingest clown, Ronald McDonald.
He's Ronald McDonald, the hamburger happy clown. A McDonald's drive-in restaurant
is his favorite place in town.
Now that, believe it or not, is the inception of the national, I mean, it was existed before this, but that's the national program or the national commercial for the franchises, the McDonald's franchise. So it just started, in the early 1960s, right. Of course, continues to this day, but back then, first of all, they cooked the hamburgers. They didn't put it in a microwave oven, so I have a little private little thing there I can't stand. But back then, that had to be something different where you could just get some. I mean, fast food didn't really exist before then.
No, I got to tell you, it was a good experience for all of us because we'd put the family in a car, boom. I remember going with my dad, my mom, and you go to McDonald's, and it looked like a little Carvel stand. That's all it looked like. And you would go there. You get these little things that you stuck in your window. You put your drink on it, your fries. Your burger. It was great.
So you actually parked and they brought the stuff out to you?
No. You had to go in and get it.
Right. Okay.
And originally you had to purchase the tray to stick in your window.
Interesting.
And you saved the trays. And it had a little spot for your.
So you sat in the car and ate in their parking lot.
Yeah,
which is pretty cool.
Yeah. And, you put the radio on, and then when you were done, there was like a little water around the other side. There was ducks there. If you wanted to throw a little bread to the ducks or whatever, you could do that too, or a couple French fries.
And did you ever have you ever hear this Tab or Fluffernutter?
Oh, yeah.
Before you get into it, I got to refresh my memory here on this. Listen to this.
The Gemini space flights. In space, they drank Tang. They mixed it like this in a zero-G pouch. Tang tastes orangey, has lots of vitamins C and A. Tang, chosen for the Gemini astronauts. Have a blast. Have some Tang.
So, there's Fluffernutter, there was Tab soda from Coke, there was Tang from, the Gemini astronauts. So the food of the day was influenced and was mod, right? All that was new stuff.
It was, and I think it was all influenced by the space age kind of purchasing. Like, my mom wouldn't get the Tang because she'd already buy the orange juice and stuff like that. But if we went on, picnics and stuff like that, you didn't have to worry about it spoiling.
It basically was a powder, right?
It was a mix, and you just put it in water, and it was good.
Yeah.
It was good. It had vitamin C and everything else. The Tab I didn't like. My grandmother used to drink that because it was like,
That was the first diet soda.
Yeah. It was like, not.
What about the Fluffernutter?
Fluffernutter. We've had toasted Fluffernutters. Uh-huh. We're talking about Saturday night and we don't have anything else to eat because we're trying to figure out what to eat when we got the munchies. So we toasted bread and put the peanut butter on and the marshmallow fluff. And it was great. My mom loved the fluff because she put it in a coffee instead of milk and didn't have to add sugar.
Oh, and think about that. Interesting.
But
how about the fashions? Listen to this routine.
It was an itsy bitsy teeny weeny yellow polka dot bikini that she wore for the first time today.
Now, this is 1960, that song representing the beginning of the age of the bikini. Now, you ate a lot of Fluffernutter, but you also drank your Tab, so you were slim and trim. what was it like? I mean, I guess you grew up and the bikini was the suit, right?
For the
girls to wear one.
Well, we didn't really get all out, as a younger family, we didn't all get all to the beach because we had, not same schedules. But I could remember my dad enjoying the beach quite a lot because
of the bikinis.
My
dad wanted to go to the beach every weekend.
not that I was trying to catch him at it, but it's like kind of hard to miss when they're on the beach and they're like 98%
skin,
right. Exactly.
Now, how about we talk about some of the food? I was going to throw you back to like your Gatorade and Pop Tarts and Fresca. You remember any of these things?
Oh yeah. Pop Tarts. We still, I try not to eat too many of them because there's a lot of sugar in them, but the Fresca, I remember, I like that. Gatorade is great. The fondues, now, that was
cutting edge.
Huge invention because you got a chance to eat a lot of bread and a lot of cheese.
It just melted cheese in a pot and dipped the bread into the cheese,
yeah,
right?
You had to be careful that it wasn't too hot because you were going to be in the bathroom with a piece of ice in your mouth.
Well, there it is. It's our first show on the 60s, and we just had a great time traveling with Joe, and we're going to be back next week on Everything Old is New Again to talk about the 60s and the later 60s and how it developed him as an individual. We're going to have some fun on Everything Old is New Again. Come on back.
Think you're fat? You might just be bloated. Find out by calling now for a free trial of Nubiotics, the new breakthrough that flattens bloated bellies fast. For a free trial, call 1-800-943-6794.
I used to be plagued by pot belly and constant bloating. After taking Nubiotics, my belly flattened and continues to get flatter. My sense of bloating and discomfort is gone.
If you've got a big belly, you might not be fat. You might just be bloated. Nubiotics is scientifically formulated with natural ingredients to flatten bloated bellies fast by cleansing pounds of rotting food and toxic sludge from your body. It even combats periodic heartburn and acid reflux. So just think how much better you'll look and feel. Think you might be bloated? Call now for a free trial of Nubiotics and see how much flatter it makes your belly. You might be surprised, but hurry, call now for details while these free trials last. 1-800-943-6794. That's 1-800-943-6794. 1-800-943-6794.
This message is for home intruders, the cowards who break into people's homes to steal their hard-earned property, criminals who shatter lives and rob people of their privacy and security. Listen very carefully. We're the home security experts at LiveWatch, and we're taking you down. Because we're letting everyone try our newest home security system for one full year in their home. To take advantage of this amazing offer, call now, 1-800-658-9765. LiveWatch has been helping protect homes for years, and we've learned the secrets that intruders like you don't want people to know. Criminals, it's time for you to be afraid, because every person who calls will be protected against cowards like you. To the criminals listening, we're taking you down. To those who want to help protect their homes, call the security experts to try the LiveWatch security system. There are no long-term contracts, and if you're not completely satisfied, you can cancel at any time. Try LiveWatch now by calling 1-800-658-9765. That's 1-800-658-9765.